We're doing the Drashat Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima, and the Ramban had gone on to discuss the covenant between Hashem and Avraham, the Brit Ben Abtarim. And we had seen last week that the world to come was clear by Avraham. But when Hashem says, don't worry, you have great wages, so Avraham understood that he's talking about this world. The Ramban went on to explain why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. So if God's telling him you have great wages, Avraham assumes that's in this world, because in the world to come, obviously. But this world, well, if God's telling him it's going to be good, so that he has to have faith, it's still going to be good. And furthermore, there are also some tzaddikim who live this world, and they live a life as though they were the most wicked people in the world. So that's why Hashem says you'll have it good. And Avraham asks Hashem, what do you mean? I'm an old man, I'm going to die soon, and I have no children. Because Avraham understands that if God says you're going to have it good, God means in this world. And what is God's answer to Avraham? V'inei devar Hashem elav lemor, lo yirashecha ze. So God tells Avraham, no, Yishmael isn't going to inherit you. Ki'im asha yitzei mimeecha hu yirashecha. The only one that will inherit you is the one that you give birth to Yitzchak. Avraham asks Hashem, the only one that's here to inherit me is Eliezer, my servant. And God says, no, he won't inherit you. You'll have your own child who will inherit you. God promised him he would have children. And that the great wages that God is promising him will be for Avraham and his children. And Hashem said to Avraham, look up to the heavens, count the stars. And there's, you can't count the stars, there are so many. So will be your seed. And then we have a verse that's very difficult. It says, Avraham believed, vayachsheveh lo tzedakah, and he considered it to him a tzedakah. Now, vayachsheveh needs to be defined. Vayachsheveh is milshon chashivut or hachshava. Is it a term of importance, or is it how he considered it, and who considered it? Is it God that considered it, or Avraham that considered it? Vayachsheveh, and he considered it, lo, to him, to whom? Who's doing the considering? Tzedakah, and the word tzedakah has multiple meanings. Sometimes the word tzedakah means righteousness. But stemming from the word right, correct, tzedek, just. Sometimes the word tzedakah means beyond the call of duty. So here, v'hemin d'Hashem, the verse says he believed in Hashem, or he had emunah in Hashem, והפירוש הנכון, and the correct explanation here is, שהאמין בו, וחשבה אברהם צדקה מאלוהיו. Avraham believed God would give that to him, and he considered it beyond the call of duty. ולא חשב כי מעשיו גורמים. He didn't think he deserved it. ויחשבה לא צדקה, doesn't mean that God considered Avraham's faith an act of righteousness, but quite the contrary. Avraham believed that God would give him the good that God had promised. Vayachsheveh lo tzedakah, and he considered it an act of kindness on behalf of Hashem that he promised him to have children. He didn't think I deserve it. Kim lama lo yamin velama lo techashev lo litzedakah. Because why wouldn't Avraham believe him? Why wouldn't that be considered righteousness? Why does the verse have to say that if it's all a reference to Avraham? But if the idea is he believes he'll get the good and he understands that he considers it an act of kindness, That makes more sense. V'tzarich iyun ki b'finchas k'tiv atechashev lo litzdakah. And we need to check out exactly, because we also have the term atechashev lo litzdakah by Pinchas, and we have to figure out how to rectify what we've said here with what it says in Tehillim. V'yom elo ani Hashem asher otziticha me'ur kasdim latet lecha. God tells him, I am Hashem who took you out of Ur Kasdim, the fires of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit. God's telling him, why is God repeating history? God's telling him, I took you out of Ur Kasdim. God's telling him, I could have made it good over there. and I didn't tell you to leave that land because I couldn't deal with that land. Don't think I couldn't make it good in Ur Kasdim. I could have made it good. But I brought you here, Ela Kedei Shorishcha Haaretz Hazot, but rather so that you inherit this land. Kolomar Lazer Asher Ani Omer Latet Lecha. And that's God's proof. God saying, you're asking me, well, what good am I going to have? I'm about to die and I have no kids. Well, God says, what did I bring you here for? I brought you here so that you inherit this land. I could have made it good for you in Ur Kasdim. I brought you here because you're going to inherit the land of Israel. So obviously I'm going to give you children. And then Avram turns to God and he says, how do I know that I will inherit the land of Israel? Now, as you see, verse by verse, these are very difficult psukim. What's Avram asking? A minute ago we said Avram believed. Now Avram's questioning, how will I know I will inherit this land? Adat Rabotenu b'mitzat ha-gadol haya zeh bakashatot. In some haggadot, in some midrashim, Avram asked for a sign. Kmo shnema v'yomer Chizkiyahu ma'ot ki ele bet Hashem. Just like the king Chizkiyah asked for a sign, God tells him, you're healed. He says, before I leave my bed, what's the sign that I should go up to the temple to pray, that I'm really healed? V'gidon shu atzmo hayah mitnabe b'keshot, and Gidon, who himself had prophecy that he would win the Midianites, asked Hashem for a sign. V'chach amru, and this is what the Medrash says. Avraham lefi shamar davar echad v'ma'eda, nigzar alav yado ateda. Because Avram questioned Hashem, he said, what sign do I have that I will have the land of Israel? Avram said, Bama Eida. Because of that, Hashem says, Yadoa Teida. Who remembers? How does the verse continue? Yadoa Teida. No, you should certainly know, Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. That your children will be as sojourners in a land that is not theirs. They will serve them. They will afflict them for 400 years. Punishment. Remember earlier we saw that the punishment was because he allowed Sarah to be abducted. You remember? Earlier we saw the Ramban brought a medrash that that's why the Jews were abducted in Egypt. And now the Ramban is quoting a medrash that the prophecy that we would be in Egypt was a punishment for Avram's questioning Hashem here.
So it's all suffering punishment?
Oh, good question. Good question. Now, we have to remember that question when we read the Drashot Aran. When we read the Sefer Maasiyot. Mm-hmm. Because think back to what Rabbi Yoshua said in Sefer Maasiyot. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania said, some people are born with handicaps, because when they overcome that challenge and they're still good people, they'll get even more in the world to come. So from there we see a concept that sometimes God gives us challenges to make us grow, not as a punishment at all. But to say that everyone agrees with it, so the Rambam says that it might be machloket midrashim, why people suffer in this world, why tzaddik v'ralo. And we'll discuss that at greater length, Bezrat Hashem, here. And I was thinking last night that when we finish this drasha, maybe we'll learn the Ramban's other drasha, which is one of his drashot. It's really a long work called Torah Ta'adam, part of which is called Shal Hagmul, where he discusses payback in this world. And over there we also have this concept discussed at greater length, but let's wait and see what the Ramban is saying. It's difficult to say that all suffering is a punishment. It would seem impossible to say that, unless you work with Gilgulim. Because sometimes you have a child born with some kind of disease, he did nothing wrong. I mean, the question begins, right, how can you say all suffering is a punishment? But the child's suffering. You can't ignore his pain.
Yeah. Why they just died?
What?
They just died, like a stillborn or something like that.
That's something else, but you have other situations. Unfortunately, children do suffer. You can't say they've sinned. Unless you work with Gilgulim, you can't say they sinned.
Maybe they came from like a past life. Or
so that's a good answer, but the Tosos Yamtiv on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when Hillel sees the corpse, he sees the head rolling in the water, and Hillel tells him, Al de'atef, because you sunk others, itfuch, they sunk you. Right? So Tosfos Yom Tov, if I'm not mistaken, over there says, wait a second, what did Hevel do wrong? Hevel never killed anyone, and I'll quote, using that logic, I'll ask you, well, Hevel can't be a Gilgal of anyone, right? He's the third person, fourth person on planet Earth. Fine, but what did he do wrong? He was murdered.
He may very well have done something wrong.
Could be?
We're talking about an infant here.
We don't know we don't know how long Heva lived for before he was killed. The simple reading of the text. Well, Cain and Heva were born adults, meaning they were born before Eve sinned, so childbirth didn't hurt. Right. How this works needs explanation, but
yeah,
okay.
Why can't someone else's suffering be still specifically because of that person? Like someone else's sin. Right? Just because the baby's suffering is still like, wow. That's what the people needed.
Well, I read a concept.
So that's
right?
Complex. That depends on how we understand the verse, Lo yumtu avot al banim, ish pecheto yumatu. That goes back to the verse says, fathers don't die for their son's sins, sons don't die for their father's sins. So you could say that's in our world. We can't punish children for their parents. And then you have the question.
But the suffering you feel when something happens to someone close to you is part of your own thing.
That's part of our own. But the question is, what about him? What about the baby?
Because God's like, plan is so perfect, it all works out perfectly. So
fine.
I think I read this, like Rabbi Nachman, like all he talks about is miserable stuff mentioned.
The truth is, we had long classes that discuss it in our Ein Yaakov class when we learned the sugya of Yisurim Shel Ahava. So then the guys wanted to spend two or three classes going through the different shitot, and it's online. Ein Yaakov, what daf is it in Brachot? I don't remember. But if you want, send me an email, I'll send you the link. In our Ein Yaakov class, we spent one or two classes discussing this. There's a lot to be discussed. I mean, right. En mitah belo avon, en yisurim belo chet. One opinion in the Talmud says, a person never suffers without sin. A person never dies without sin causing the death. Except for a few exceptions. So the question is, well what do you say about a baby suffering, right?
Does that mean, it might not
be
their sin,
but
still less sin?
So that's a question. Can someone suffer for someone else's sin? We know that one person's suffering can atone for other people. But can you say that he'll suffer for someone else? Okay, that's a good question. You could see the Rishonim in Yeshaya and the Parsha Hein Yaskil Avdi. Hein Yaskil Avdi, do we have a Yeshaya here? Okay, if you want, I'll show you where it's at. Oh, Toda Alba.
I heard an explanation of suffering that it's like if someone performs an operation on someone and someone from the jungle comes and starts watching this person operating, doesn't know what an operation is, doesn't know anything about medicine, it would look to him like the person is like murdering the person and dissecting his body.
Where
so
is
it's
it?
Like it depends on perception
10,
of reality. And we
okay.
Can't possibly perceive reality the way God perceives reality.
That fine. That's part of what we're learning here. So Hinei Yaskil Avdi is Yeshaya, what's referred to as the 52nd chapter, the 13th Pasuk. And that's a reference either to the Jewish people or the Mashiach. And basically Yeshaya describes how everyone derided this person, everyone always made fun of him, and who would know that he was suffering our pain. He was suffering instead of us, which could mean either the Jewish people, that all our suffering throughout the generations atoned for the nations, or it means the Mashiach is one who will suffer a lot. The Ramban has a separate speech. It's like two or three pages, it's a separate work just on this Parsha in Yeshaya. And the problem with learning this Parsha is that the censors edited it because the Christians have their explanation of who it's talking about. So they didn't allow the Jews to publish our tradition on what the parasha is talking about. So you have to get a good edition to understand that.
Isn't it Mashiach ben Yosef, though, will be like mocked and ridiculed? Because no one's going to do that to Ben David, right?
Okay, I don't know. Okay. What? I mean, like the university edition of Rashi. You have Bar Ilan put out a Tanakh. They have it here in the library, Keter, where they went to old manuscripts and they redid Rashi and they did all the Rishonim. I mean, Rashi, Radak. So that's a good place to look. If you'll take a standard Tanakh, so it's been censored. just like Rashi and Tehillim has been censored. Throughout Tanakh, they censored what they didn't like, so they controlled the printing presses. So you have to go to works that used old manuscripts. Even on Torah, Rashi and Torah, there are sections in Rashi and Torah that have been edited. The censors didn't let us print.
Oh, no, this is...
What?
No.
I don't know how many people know it, but one year I went through Rashi and Torah with one of these editions, the editions which use manuscripts, and I discovered Rashis I never knew existed.
Like that one over there won't have it? That
correct. One. This is a standard Rashi, right.
It's interesting that this chapter of Yeshayah is like Shabbat, Lecha Dodi.
Yeah?
It's more to Lecha Dodi. Uri, Uri, Lavshi, Uzecha, Tzion, Lavshi, Bugadeti, Farteha, Yerushalayim, Ir, Gakodesh, Kilo, Yosif, Yavo, Yabak, Od, Arel, Vetame.
Yeah.
Uri, Uri, Shirdabay.
Yefen? ויש אגדות שאומרים שלא אמר זה, אלא באיזה זכות היא רשנה. Some הגדות, some midrashim say, that Avram's questioning, how will I know that I will inherit it? What he meant to say is, with what merit will I inherit it? And this is the more known explanation. ואמר לו, and God told him, בזכות הקורבנות, the merit with which you'll inherit the land of Israel is the merit of the sacrifices, וזהו שנאמר, and that's why God's response is, כחלי עגלה משולשת, take for me a special calf, צריך תיקון הלשון. ומה שאמר משולשת, what does it mean משולשת? משולשת is from the root שלוש. הראה לו שלושה מיני פרים. God showed him three types of cows that are brought as a sacrifice. פר יום הכיפורים, the cow of Yom Kippur. ופר כהן המשיח, and the cow that the Kohen brings if he erred and sinned. ופר אלם דבר של ציבור, and the cow that the nation brings if the majority of the nation erred and sinned. Ve'ez meshuleshet, when God told him a triple goat, God showed him those three sacrifices. The sacrifice Se'ir Rosh Chodesh, the goat that we bring on the new month. Usil Nasin, the goat that the leaders bring. Usil Yom Kippurim, and the goat of Yom Kippur. The Ail Meshulash, the triple ram. Asham Vaday, Asham Talui, v'chivsat Yachid. Those are those three sacrifices. Tov v'gozal, Shafnina v'var Yonah. Those are the two sacrifices that are brought from birds. Amar v'gozal, he said a young dove, shebnei yonah krevin aminin ktanim v'lo gdolim, because doves are brought when they're young. So these were midrashim. God tells him, don't worry, you're going to have it good. Avram says, what do you mean, I don't have kids? God tells him, no, you will have kids. And remember, I brought you here because I want your children to inherit the land of Israel. And now the Ramban goes on to discussing what's pshat, what's going on here. And here we'll have to pick up next week just because we're out of time. Say that.